Okay.
She said she's going with Riley, so I don't know if
they're perfect. That's good. Then I'll be here anyway. So if they want to come here and follow behind us, that's perfect. Okay. Thanks, Jesse. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else. Noah, good morning, sir. Come on down, brother. Good to see you. She's always the last. If I can get her corralled, I know. I got it made. All right. Good to. Good to see everybody this morning. Noah, whatever you do, do it quickly. Me and Noah are in relationship. I have a relationship with Noah. All right, praise the Lord. Father, thank you for the word of God, and it's powerful, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray that you help me to slow down and to get the information out, Lord, and just help me in the presentation, God, so I can get this out. And I really pray that it becomes rhema and revelation and food, bread, to our spirit, Lord, so it can change our lives. Gary encouraged me so much, Lord, with his testimony. That's a pastor's dream, that the people are actually listening, Lord. That's a pastor's dream, that they're hearing the word and obeying it and doing what it says, because that's how it changes our life. So give us grace to hear, give us grace to assimilate it, and give us grace to live it out, and give me grace, Lord, to preach it today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can put a finger in Colossians chapter 1 and go over to Hebrews chapter 10. So put a finger in Colossians 1. I got a lot, and I'm going to go slow. This is kind of a bounce off of last week's message a little bit. I tapped on it, not so much the love portion, which I'll probably get back to, but I talked a little bit about shadows and substance, and I'm telling you this sincerely. This revelation, this understanding is changing my life, what God is showing me in the Word. Now, it's pretty cool. I think I'm 60 years old, and I've been following God pretty good with some ups and downs, like most of us, most of my life. And then at age 26, 27, I really came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and He changed everything. But it's just funny how new the Word of God can be, how you'll get in there and something you've heard and you know just gets bigger and bigger inside of you. And the Lord has given me this revelation, this understanding from the Word. And it's nothing, you wouldn't say it's anything extraordinary. It's about Jesus, of course. But it's just changing me. It's changing how I pray. It's changing how I walk. And I think most of us, I would say most people, and I've been around Christians a long time, even though you know you're saved, you have this nagging feeling of falling short or not measuring up. Or people, a lot of times we live on the edge of condemnation. Because, you know, the Word is, there's so many things if you study it. Even grace can get to be perplexing because you wonder, why ain't I getting grace? Why didn't I get this? And so we're constantly wrestling. And I hate to think, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And I hate to think that we keep coming to the Lord, and I know a lot of our church experience has been this way, and we have anything but rest. We're more turmoil with ourselves. We see where we fall short more and more. We see in the Word where we don't measure up, and maybe people remind us, maybe we're called a hypocrite at times, and you know, and all these promises we have, a lot of times we seem to fall short of them. And so sometimes the Word can actually get to be a burden rather than a deliverance. It is not supposed to be that way. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's supposed to come into our life and bring a change. It starts with the new birth, the being born again, born in the Spirit, and then being filled with the Holy Spirit and learning to live in a rhythm. And I'll use different language because maybe it'll help you. If I said learning to walk in the Spirit, all these ideas you have about walking in the Spirit click in, and a lot of times that just means more failure. I failed to walk in the Spirit. I got angry. I did. No, learning to walk in a rhythm of grace. Learning to walk in creativity or spontaneity. Or I love that there's a book called The Incredible Lightness of Being. I like that, and there's been great Christian seekers, people that really knew God, that talked about a lightness of being when it comes to following God. It comes from the peace of God. It comes from the presence of God. And there's a rhythm and a grace about life. And we don't want to come short of that, but I think a lot of times we do. So my prayer today, and I want to slow down, because last week I had a dear friend here, and he's a brand new Christian, and he told me he couldn't keep up with me. And I'm like, oh, that's the last thing I want to hear. I guess some people, as a pastor, one person will say, we need more meat. And then the next person said, it's too deep. And then one person said, you know, you're going too slow, I'm falling asleep. And the other person says, hey, you're going too fast. And so But I hated to hear that from him, so I want to slow down a little bit. And this message will take 2 or 3 weeks probably to complete. So I'm not in a hurry to get done. It's 11:23. We got plenty of time, right? And if I have to stop it right somewhere in the middle, and if you miss any of these next few messages, go on gracepointutica.com or .org. It's Grace Point with an E, and you can listen to it there or on podcast. But I want you to get this, because it really is changing how I'm seeing God and how I'm seeing Jesus, and I'm understanding this faith thing a little more. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Please stay with me on this. And don't judge so much the presentation, or don't look at me and analyze my inadequacies or my stumblings or my foibles or my bad habits at preaching. I had a beautiful brother tell me today, he knows when I'm getting going because I start hopping. See, I didn't know that, you know. I listen to myself on recording, and I know there are certain phrases I use all the time. I was like, stop it, Brad. You know what I mean? And I was like, I have these certain things I'll just repeat, and I'm like, man, well, stop that. So don't judge so much for my technique or my delivery. I really want you to zero in on the content of the Word of God, and I want God to impress something on you today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, someone say can never. It just can't. It can't do it. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Make the people that are seeking God, make the people that are going after God, make the people that are worshiping, it can never purify your conscience. Never. And one of the keys, and I can't land here yet, but one of the keys, if you have a troubled conscience before God, one of the understandings, one of the things that can help you right away is oftentimes the reason your conscience is being troubled is you're still approaching God based on performance. You're still approaching God based on how you did last week. I did pretty good, God loves me. I did pretty bad, God doesn't love me. And we approach God that way. God doesn't want us to approach him that way. We all want to do good. Amen? I mean, everybody does. There's no one here, and I'm not a person that preaches grace without some fruit in it. But when you come to God, the word is very clear that no man is justified in God's sight by the law. No man is justified in God's sight by works. When we go to God, and this is really so helpful if you can get this, when we go to God, we go on the merit of Jesus Christ, always and forever. And I don't care how good you're living. I don't care the good works you're doing, going down to the vertical. I hope you're going. You got a homeless guy living in your house. You know, God used you to heal 5 people last week. You're just running all over the place working for God. I hope you are. I trust that you are. But when you go to God, you're not going to go to God and say, God, look what I've done. I can come into your presence. I've done this, this, and this. Because if we approach God that way, by our works or by law, sooner or later, you're going to do things that you feel unworthy or you feel condemned. Okay? So when we go to God, we always go, and this is what Paul said in chapter 4 here of Hebrews, we always go to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus every single time. And if we understand the value that God puts on the blood of Jesus and puts on the sacrifice of Jesus, it will give you confidence. Paul, when he says go to the throne of grace boldly, he's not telling you to look and see how you're doing and then go to the throne of grace. He already knows that you need grace. He knows it. He's looked at you. He goes, you need grace. And the blood of Jesus is there cleansing you and washing you. You have a right to come into my presence through Jesus. I want you to come boldly. But I just don't feel like I measure up. I just don't feel like I'm worthy. Good. You're a candidate. You're beating your breast and you say, God, be merciful to me. God, have mercy on me. I don't feel like I add up. And you go into his presence. And when you do that, every single time, God receives you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now, is it possible that when you go in his presence and you pour your heart out to God and you go into his presence, is it possible that God might talk to you about your life? Yeah, sure he might. He's not, but he doesn't condemn you. The voice of the Holy Spirit is not a negative voice. He's not a condemning voice. He's not a nagging voice. That's you. That's your conscience. No, if God's talking to you, he's instructing you because he is your loving, perfect, heavenly father. He's a perfect father, and he's talking to you as a father and saying, Brad, you're going to get a lot further if you do this. Brad, I see trouble coming your way. Do this. I mean, there's still consequence to our actions. Is that right? Of course there is. There's still consequence to our actions. But our problem isn't God. Our loving Heavenly Father wants to receive us. Then he's going to pour out grace on us. Now, here's the beautiful thing, and I've said this. Not only does he pour out grace, but those things that we're struggling with, what he wants to do is empower us to overcome them. Adam and Eve in the garden, when they saw their inadequacies, Jeff, their nakedness, they were ashamed. They ran away from God. And that's what sinners do. Sinners are just people that don't know Jesus. That's what sinners do 24/7, 24 hours a day. They feel their nakedness. They feel their shame. Maybe they've gone to church and they felt condemned. And so when God's brought up or the Spirit's brought up or something about the presence of God, a lot of times, rather than run to God because of their shame, we run the other way. Has anybody ever ran from God? Tried to hide? Has anybody ever been out of church for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years? Because you kind of got away from God and then you were ashamed to come back? I had an idea about Easter this year. I want to send out a card for people that haven't been to church in like 6 months. And I want to put on the front of that card, Ollie, income free. I'm serious. I had it on the way to church this morning. Ollie, income free. Hey, you can come back. Come on back. It's Ollie, income free. No one's going to judge you. We're not even going to ask you where you were. You guys got to agree with me. When they come back, we're not even going to ask you where you were. We're just going to say, good to see you. Have a seat. Just like they never missed the beat, right? Well, Jesus is God's call, Ollie, income free. It's over, man. Quit hiding. Get some pants on. You are naked. Get some pants on. We don't want to see that. Throw some pants on, put a shirt on, and come back to church. That can be our slogan. Put some pants on, throw on a shirt, and come back to church. Amen? God will make you some fig leaves if you need them. Jesus is our heavenly fig leaf. So flip, and so just turn. I don't know where your Bible falls, but the next chapter, we got a long way to go, folks. I'm going meticulously slow this morning. The next chapter, Hebrews 11, 1. In chapter 10, he said, for the law having a shadow. Now he says, now faith, chapter 10, the law. These two verses are linked. How many knew that? They're linked. The law had a shadow. Now faith is the substance. Law was the shadow. Faith is the substance. It's the substance of the things that we were hoping for, that we always wanted. What things? Chapter 10 says good things. The law was the shadow of good things. Now faith is the very substance of those good things. Anita, healing of your back. You know, faith is the substance of that good thing that you want from God. The substance, it's the reality. Some translations even say it's the reality. It actually means the holding up. It's a word like hypostasis. It means to hold it up. Faith is what holds up the promises. Faith is the ground of all the promises. And faith is the very substance of all the promises. Faith actually gives you the thing that the law was carrot and stick. Please hear what I just said. Please slow down in your mind and listen to me, please. The law was a carrot and stick. It was a shadow. You're always pursuing after it. You're always trying and never getting there. But now faith is the very image. It's the very substance of that thing that you were hoping for. How many of you have ever hoped for righteousness? Had a hope of righteousness? I have. Faith is the substance of that righteousness. In Colossians, you can flip over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to be in there and around there. Chapters 1 and 2, maybe 3 a little bit. We're going to progress through this. God's tied this thing together. In the beginning of Colossians, Paul heads out, and right away, Paul's talking about bearing fruit. God wants his children to bear fruit. And there's all kind of fruit. There's a root. We're going to talk about the root of the righteous today. You have to have your roots right. You have to be rooted and grounded. I think we preached on that last week, did we not? Being rooted and grounded in Christ. Being rooted and grounded in love. We have to have our root structure right. And out of that proper root structure, if you didn't hear it, that last week's message will be posted. We're going to bear some fruit. But all the fruit, all the increase, all the blessing comes out of a single root. There's the root of the righteous, and it bears fruit. So if we get that right, if we get the substance right, if we get the reality right, now we know how to grow. Now we know how to bear fruit. Now we know how to increase. There's all type of branches on this tree of God. There's healing branches. There's blessing branches. There's relationship and love branch, a big branch, that old love branch coming out of there. There's all this fruit that God wants to bring into your life, but you're not going to get it by chasing shadows. You're not going to get it by chasing images. You're not going to get it by spinning around and chasing your own tail. There is a way that we can walk in this reality. And now flip over to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll be bouncing around in Colossians. I want you to see this. I want to double emphasize this. Please stay with me. I'm going to say that 5 more times today. I'm building on something. I want you to get it. Colossians 2, I could actually read verse 16, but I'll go with 17. I got to read. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come." Read that. These things in the law, they are a shadow of things to come, but the body, how many translations says reality? Does anybody says reality? Substance, there you go. Hearken back. Now look, this is Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11 in one verse. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance, the body, the reality is in Christ. Don't let anyone beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding in things they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So here's what Paul is saying. Don't chase after shadows. Don't chase after things in the law. Don't be chasing everywhere. He says the substance, the body that's casting the shadow is Christ. Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Christ is the express image of God. He's the body that casts the shadow of righteousness. So Christ is the express image of God. He is the glory of God manifested. Everything that we need, we already have it when we have Christ. He is the promise of God. Jesus is the surety or the guarantee of God's covenant. When you have Jesus, you already have everything that you need to have in God. It's already yours right now if you have Christ. Everything that the law promised, everything that the law was a shadow of, every promise of God, it's said in 2 Corinthians 1, are all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and they are amen. Where? In Christ. Where are you at? You're in Christ. I preach this a lot. So why are you chasing shadows? Why do we chase shadows? Why do we chase other philosophies? Why do we chase reasonings? And why don't we go straight to Christ? In John, I won't turn there, but you can, and you should write this down. In John chapter 5, I think it's around verse 39 and 40. And I mentioned this last week, but I got to mention it again because I want you to get it. The Pharisees would not come to Jesus, and he said to them, you keep searching the scriptures, okay, but yet the scriptures are talking about me. This is going to be a Jesus mass. This is going to be a come to Jesus service, amen? I mean a good one. Come to Jesus for the answer. He said, but you won't come to me so that you might have life. And I think so often in our Christian walk, we're trying so many things. We hear of a new formula for prayer, or we hear of a new recipe, or a new instruction, or we're trying all these different sermons, and we're trying to put, how many has ever tried to put like 10 sermons in play all at the same time? You got this sermon you're hearing on TBS, and this one you heard on the radio, then you're reading a Christian book, and it's telling you this, and we're just running everywhere, chasing our tail, and we're chasing, maybe even we're doing a lot of good things, but we don't do the one thing that's necessary. When Martha was working her head off and running around and she was complaining, Mary chose the one thing that we all need to do. She came and she sat right down at the feet of Jesus. And she worshiped at the feet of Jesus. And she received something from Jesus himself. And so Jesus told, they're basically just religious people. He says, why don't you come to me? Why won't you come to me? I have the substance. I have the reality. I have that thing that you need. And what they wanted was righteousness. They had a great deal of external righteousness. They were tithers. They were good churchgoers. They probably fed the poor. They did a lot of things, but they did not live in the rhythm of God, out of the grace of God, and from the presence of God. How many know that gets wearisome after a while? Carrying around your own righteousness. So they wouldn't come, they would not come to the Lord. In Colossians, and I'm gotta slow down because I always feel this hurry up mode gets inside of me, and I gotta slow down. So in Colossians 1, it says in verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him, in who? Who? In Christ. All the fullness dwells. All the fullness. What type of fullness? Talk to me. What type of fullness dwells in Christ? Yeah, but all the fullness of God, right? Everything. Every promise, every pledge, everything that God said that he would give us, every blessing, all the strength that we need, the reality that we need, all the fullness dwells in Christ. And he echoes the same thing in Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10, he says, beware lest any preacher, man, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Why? For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of divinity, or the King James says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Where's all the fullness? It's in him. Where are you? You're in him. Next verse. For you are complete. Most translations say you have attained fullness. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Your completeness, your fullness comes because you are in Christ. In John, I think it's 16, he said that I'm in God, the Father's in me, I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. Now, if we're attached to this, I hope you're hearing this. And I'm going to talk about how we access this, how you can walk in this every single day of your life. If you would just believe it, throw off your condemnation, throw off this mentality of separation from God, and just believe God at His word. You already have fullness because it's already done. Jesus has said, it is finished, it's done, the curtain's open. The veil has been removed. You have access to the Father. You have access to the throne of grace. You have access to righteousness. You have access to holiness. You have access to healing. You have access to blessing. You have access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge because you have Christ. How much more full could it be? Amen. He's the head of all principality and power, and you're full or have fullness in Him already. Well, Brad, how is it when you believe it? Well, but shouldn't I do something else? When asked Jesus, how do we do the works of God? He said, only believe. And isn't it really your belief that stops you from taking that risk to pray for you? You want to pray for that person, step out in faith, do God's spark in you to do something spectacular. And it's like the Lord is saying, hey, just believe. Only believe me. I'm speaking to you. I'm in you. You have fullness in me, and it's our unbelief that backs away from it. You already, present tense, right now, have fullness in Christ. You already, present tense, have completeness in Him. And so all of Paul's letters from this point on, he's telling you, he emphasizes this over and over, because if you get this foundation right, chapter 2, verse 6, he says, you need to walk where? Look in your Bible. Look at it. Chapter 2, Colossians 2. There's so many verses, and I don't want to. You ought to just read Colossians this week about 10 times. I've read it in the King James, the New International, the Passion, Good News for Modern Man. I just read it, and I'm saying, Lord, this is too good to be true. This is just amazing stuff. You got to be kidding me, what you're telling me. In Colossians 2, he says we need to be rooted in Him. He says we need to what? Walk in Him, right? Be built up where? In Him. Now, why are we built up in Him? Why do we walk in Him, right? Because everything's in Him. When they were talking to Jesus, He said, hey, show us the Father. He goes, look at me. When you see me, I am the express image of the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. Keep looking at me, and I'm going to show you the Father. And He said, we don't know the way. He says, I am, this is probably next week's message, I am the way, I am the truth. How many translations says reality there? Anybody's translation say reality? I thought the NASB said that. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the reality, and I am the life. John the Apostle says we find life in Him, we live in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Everything that we need is already His. It's already in Him. So He says, come unto me and I will give you life. Doesn't He say that? And He says a whole lot more. And that's why Mary was commended, because she got it right. She wasn't going after the shadows anymore. She wasn't living in the shadows. She was living in the presence of God through Jesus Christ, and she was finding out by living in the presence of God. And I got more. I'm not done. There's more to this. It's going to go on, and we'll move into it more next week. But by living in the presence of God, she was finding out that she already had it. When we go into the presence of God and worship God or spend time with the Lord or just seek Him and put the weight on Him, we can't leave His presence. We can't leave the reality of Jesus. We can't leave His person and not have some substance left on us, some substance deposited in us, some reality, some consciousness of God given directly to us. And that, I truly believe, that is the key to every person that's really doing things for God, or, you know, people that are really demonstrating the presence and Spirit of God, is because they're actually in contact with the substance. And that's why it's so hard for some denominations and people to believe in healing, because if you're not in contact with the substance, how in the world would you ever believe that anybody could get healed by your prayers? You got to be in contact with the substance to really believe. Or when you hear things from God, You have to be in contact with God to really believe that God is actually speaking to you. But if you're living in shadow, living in condemnation, living in guilt, living in struggle, living in insecurity, living in fear, you're not in contact with the reality. How can you move out in God? How can you grow in God? It doesn't come that way. It comes through a living. We talk about, well, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do we? And I want to stay as far away from condemnation as I can, because this thing is about grace. What I'm really trying to provoke us to do is go get the substance. It's offered to you. Live in the reality of it. It's offered to you. It's free of charge. Without money, without price. That's, I think it's Isaiah 55. He says, everyone that's thirsty, everyone that's hungry, everyone that's thirsty, come buy food, buy drink. It doesn't cost money, and it's without price. It's free, in other words. If you're thirsty, come to the fountain. The Father's arms are open wide. Come into my presence. I already have it for you. You can't earn it. You can't work for it, but I want to give it to you. It's the substance of everything that you're hoping for. Now, that's powerful in my mind. And that's why Paul's focus, and again, I'm going to go slow enough here. Colossians 3:10 says, and we have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're putting on the new man. Who's that new man, ladies and gentlemen? Who is that new man you're putting on? It's Christ. He's in you. Colossians 1:27, Tim. The hope of glory is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the mystery of God. He's God's secret plan. It doesn't get any more complicated or any more deeper to whom God would make known what is the wealth, what is the riches of the glory. That's the glory is the manifested presence of God of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's people that don't know God, Gentiles, which is Christ in you. It's your hope of glory. It's your hope of righteousness. It's your hope of holiness. It's the hope of everything that the law was a shadow of. So when Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, he means it. Where? In heavenly places, in the Spirit. I'll get more into that. We've already got it because we have Christ. And now, as we, and I don't want to just keep rattling scriptures. I could. There's more. This is in 2 Corinthians 3. As we are looking at that image, as we keep looking at Christ, as we keep going to the throne of grace and approaching our Father without condemnation, without fear, through the blood of Jesus, putting our faith in that blood. Lord, I don't do everything perfect. I'm far in my conduct, but Lord, you see me perfect through Jesus. I'm coming through the blood, and I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at your plan. I'm looking at your purposes, and as we're seeing Jesus, the Bible says we're being transformed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Being transformed into that same image. Folks, what image are we being transformed into? Christ. And again, you could just rattle off scripture after scripture. This is what you're hungry for, whether you know it or not. This is the secret. Jesus Christ himself is God's plan. Jesus Christ himself is God's mystery. It doesn't need to get any deeper than that. It doesn't need to get more philosophical than that. When you have Jesus, you have everything that God has for you in your life. And a lot of times we get in and we're so excited and we're so happy, and then all of a sudden all these other things get thrown on us, and so we get weighed down with all this, and it's always just come back, just come right back to the beginning. Now, can we grow in this thing? Yeah, of course you can grow in it. Bible talks about growing in love. The Bible talks about increasing in love. The Bible talks about increasing in faith. The Bible talks about increasing in God's blessing. There's a lot of ways you can grow in it, but the way that we increase in it is to be rooted and grounded and built up in Christ. There's no other way. All other ground is sinking sand. All other chasing after shadows. All other chasing after images. Everything else is a complete failure because you have fullness in Him. I got to find a way. I don't want to get over here because that's probably next week. But Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, he says, Christ is our life. Christ Himself. Christ is your life. You say, well, I look in the mirror, or I look at what I'm doing. I'm looking at all these different things, and you know, I got things in my life I don't want to give up, and I've got this stuff over here, and I've got things that I'm doing. He says, no, you're misunderstanding something. Christ is your life. If Christ is not your life, the Bible says if you're not connected to God through Christ, He is the way to God. There's not another way. There's only eternal separation away from God. We go to God through Christ or we don't go at all, because you will never, through any Buddhist chants, any other religious can't even Christian, how you say that, cantonations, Christian cantonations, Christian religious exercises, or Hindu religious exercises, there's nothing you can do and stack it all together that will ever change your spots or wipe away your sins. It's always through Jesus. He is the way. The Word of God says He's the door and He is your life. And right now, if you're a Christian, whether we know it or not, Jesus is your life. So throw your roots down into Him. Throw your faith down into Him, and when you step out on the Word of God, or you step out on what's inside of you, expect God to do something, expect God to move, expect God's life and nature and character to be formed in you. And I've got something so powerful that the Lord showed me about image and substance, but I can't preach it this week. It's probably a three-parter. I wanted to that's what I do every week. I just spit it all out in one message. There's a way that we can actually walk in this that it works. And it's no guarantee that like all your trials are going to go away. That everything's just going to... In fact, Paul, when he came to the Lord, his trials intensified. A lot of times things get worse before they get better. But now you have an answer. You have an anchor. You have something that you can dig down into. Something you can burrow into in your relationship to God. You have a throne of grace that you can go to every day. And God promises you, I will give you grace. Whatever grace you need in that moment, whatever grace you need from me, whatever you're believing. I say this a lot, but it's true. God is going to meet you right where you're at in His grace. Now, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if you don't go to the throne of grace? Wouldn't it be a shame? You got all this stuff spinning around. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your finances. You're worried about people being mad at you. And you're worried about whether someone likes you or not. You're worried about the Democrats. That's all I'm going to say. Or the Republicans. You're worried. You're getting tossed to and fro. We can actually, as believers in Christ, go right to Jesus and get that stuff that we need. He promised. He said we could. Oh, Jesus. In Ephesians 2, Paul says that we were formerly separate Gentiles. We were formerly separated from God. We were alienated from the covenants of blessing and all the promises of God. We were alienated from them. But now, in Christ, we have drawn near. Now the promises, the covenants, the blessing, everything that God promised the Jews that Jesus fulfilled in the law when He laid it to the side after He fulfilled it. Because now the fullness, Jesus fulfilled the covenant. So where's all the fullness? In Jesus. He inherited every promise, and you've been joined to Christ. You've been grafted into that Jewish trunk. Now you're a part of the tribe. You belong to the Israel of God, and the blessing of God is yours. Now you can go into the very presence of God and get the grace that you need. Colossians 2:3 says that all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the treasures of God are in Jesus. Everyone. All the mysteries, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him. And you're in Him. That's why you can't run here and run there to find Him. That's why you can't run circles around trying to find him. I can't find peace. Yeah, because peace is already in you. Just start saying it. The word of peace is already in you because the word of Christ is already in you. Start saying what you believe. In the middle of the storm, Mike, start saying, I can walk on water. I'm going to walk on water. Jesus, everything around me is swirling out of control. I can't pay my bills. People are mad at me. I feel turmoil. I feel, Lord, but the word says that I have peace with you. And Lord, I'm coming into your presence. I'm coming to the throne of grace, and I am getting grace. I'm getting the peace that I need. And Lord, I'm not leaving until I walk in it. It belongs to me. I've already got it, and I'm not living without it. If you promise me peace, then I'm not leaving without peace. And we're going to dig in. I found a way to tiptoe through the tulips of healing, because I know a lot of people struggle with that. And I get it. I do. I understand it. We all do. But I want to find a doorway into it, right? I'll say it for the 1,000th time. Healing is not a message of condemnation because you don't get it. It's not what it's about. It's all part of the trunk of Jesus. It's all part of walking, all this stuff. Everything comes out of Jesus. Everything comes out of his merit. And let me be clear as I end today. Let me be clear as I end today, because I can't go much further today. When we have Jesus, the reason we're not under law and the reason we're not under shadows is because we already have the real thing. It's not, this is why I don't understand grace teachers that say, well, you can just do what you want because you're under grace. It doesn't make any sense. If you have the substance of righteousness, right? The law is a shadow. Faith is the reality. If you have the substance of holiness, if you have the substance of peace with God, why would you live anywhere else but in the substance? Why would you run out here saying, well, God forgives me, I can live however I... Don't you want peace with God? Don't you want to live a righteous, holy life? Don't you want to walk in the love of God? Don't you want that all that sugary goodness that Jesus gives? All that sap from the vine? And I can't preach John 15. It's another good one. I am the vine. I am the vine. And you are one of my branches. Let me flow. Cut that vein up, get it open so I can pour some sap into you. We want to be sappy. Who wants to be a sappy Christian? I do. I want that goodness, all that goodly goodness to go from Jesus and go into me. And grace is this, Mike. I don't deserve it. I know that. I don't earn it. I know that. But I get to live it. I get to breathe it. And I get to express it. Here I am, Jesus. If you can get any sap in me, get it in me, and I'll try to get it out there. Amen? Does anybody want any of that sappy goodness? I do. I know you do too. We all do, because we're born again in the image of God.